The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Say amen. I believe we can do greater things than we think we can when we let Him work through us. Amen. That building at the end, the really nice one, is our vision. It's not looking like that yet. But we are excited. We really are. I am so happy to be here. Good morning, everybody. You have early church. I love it. Well, no, actually, I don't. I'm kidding. We start our services at 11, but we, you know, do it all day after that. So we get to sleep in, and over here you don't. So that's kind of different. Every time it's a reminder to me. It's like, whoa, okay, 7:30. Didn't you love mornings? I believe the Lord has given me a message for this trip. I believe He's giving me a message for this trip, for this country, for this nation. Because every time I come, I pray that I don't just go to do fundraisers. And I believe He's got a way bigger plan than we think He does. every time I come, I pray that I don't have to go. That is my prayer every single time. Because I love being there. I love doing... Can anybody of you say that you love your life? Because I love my life. And everything about it. It gets really difficult. It gets really awesome and exciting. And I love the whole thing. I love my life. Because He's giving it to me. He's in charge of it. I've given it back to Him. And He's totally in control. It's His. So I love my life, and I love living it where I was born, you know, where I'm called to be, which is in Ukraine. But He also called me to come here because He gave me English supernaturally. So I figured that I probably should use it for the glory, you know, for His glory. So I really, really, English was a totally a supernatural gift for those that don't know. But we're going to open with you. We're going to open John, the book of John. Chapter 6, I believe. And when we're all doing that, can we just open it with prayer? I like to welcome Him. He is definitely here, but I want to welcome Him into our hearts. Because this is the word that is not just supposed to bounce off and you know, touch us and make us cry and then disappear after 2 hours. It is the word that is eternal, and that's what we are here for. We're really here not because of me, say amen. We're here because of Him. Because of Him. He's the reason. So we thank You, Jesus. We thank You this morning. We welcome You into our hearts. Increase the capacity of our hearts so that we could be open to receive Your love. More of Your love. More of Your revelation, Lord. We ask for more of You. We ask for more of You. Give us the revelation of the true love that You are. Not that You have, but that You are. You are the true love. And we thank You for sharing that with us, Jesus. We thank You for dying on the cross. And we thank You for living forever for us as well. You didn't abandon us. You didn't forsake us. You didn't leave us alone. You're always with us. And we thank You. Can you tell Him thank you for something out of your life? Something personal. Something that He did for you in your family, maybe many years ago, but you feel like you weren't grateful enough. We want to be grateful children. You, hallelujah. We want to be grateful children to You, God. We thank You. We thank You for the love. We thank You for the protection. We thank You for being our covering. We thank You. We thank You, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We love You and we welcome You into our hearts. Minister to our lives. Minister to our hearts. Hallelujah. We give Him into Your hands because we trust You more than anybody else. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. All right. The book of John, chapter 6. I love this microphone. You know why? Because I have freedom. If I want to sneeze or cough or burp, I can, you know, move. But it's nice to have freedom, isn't it? This time in the States, I flew in 2 weeks ago, and I was getting over a little cold. And you know what I've realized? I mean, you're the family, right? You're my family. Yeah, we are one body. I can share these things with you, right? I was a little frustrated because I couldn't get antibiotics at a drugstore. I went, I know what I need, but they wouldn't sell it to me. And I was like, well, that's weird. I mean, you know, it's a completely different thing because I've never had that before. And it's just a little cough, but I didn't really want to deal with it, so I needed a pill. And so, you know, I was going to get a pill, and they didn't sell it to me. And I was so frustrated. And for 2 days, I was coughing and frustrated. And then Mary Hedlund and I, we sat down, and she said, well, why don't we pray? I said, yes! That's why they didn't sell it to me. And so we prayed, and guess what? Yeah. Yeah. God is so good. God is so good. So, I mean, he does these, but still, nevertheless, the fact that you can't buy what you want at a drugstore, that's a little odd. Or the other day I was talking about getting raw milk and everybody looked at me like I, you know, killed somebody. And I was just wanting some raw milk. And apparently that's illegal as well. So, you know, I like the mic that is not attached to me really closely so I can sneeze and cough and have my freedom. John chapter 6, verse 26. I have to have two Bibles, one Russian, one English. You know how that goes. I can read in Russian. Would you guys like to hear some Russian? Or do you know what it sounds like? Yeah, okay. That's easy. That is easier than English to me, trust me. Verse 26. Иисус сказал им в ответ, «Истинно, истинно говорю вам, вы ищете меня не потому, что видели чудеса, но потому, что ели хлеб и насытились». And verse 51. Я хлеб живой, шедший с небес. Едущий хлеб этот будет жить вовек. Хлеб же, который я дам, есть плоть моя, которую отдам за жизнь мира. Okay, let's read it in English so we know what I'm talking about. Verse 26, you guys. Jesus answered them and said, that you seek me, not because you have seen signs and wonders, but because of what? Can anybody read your Bibles? Because, I mean, I'm reading it, but can you? Because of what? Because of the bread that you ate. Okay, let's look verse 51. 51. He continues to talk about this. He says, I am the living bread. Say amen. Are you hungry this morning? I'm really hungry. I'm really hungry in the spirit. And I want to stay hungry forever until I meet with him, until I sit by him. I want to stay hungry until the end of my life. I want to be hungry, hungry and thirsty, hungry and thirsty. And that is the reason why I'm here. That is the reason why you're here. And I have some amazing testimonies to share, but this is something that the Lord showed to me. God makes this word very, very alive to me because of the situations that I'm placed in. Somebody asked me, Max, pray for me to get your anointing so that I have exactly what you have. And I said, listen, that's tough because it comes with a baggage. It really does. He places you in situations and he trains you and he trains you and he trains you. He makes you stronger and stronger. He gives you strength in certain things that others maybe don't even know exists. I mean, the reason I'm so small, I actually really like American food. So if I were, you know, a different, I don't know, different structure or something, I would be really, really big because I really like American food. And so every time I come, I gain very fast. I've already gained 8 pounds, eight, and it's been only 2 weeks. And yeah. So by the end, you know, I get a little wider. But if I lived here, I'd be huge. But the Lord, listen to this. The Lord has called me to go into the manholes. And I'm so glad I'm not living here because I wouldn't fit in one. It's true. It's true. I know me. I like food, and especially good tasting food. And so that is so cool that he does that. He calls you to a certain thing that you're supposed to be doing, even when you don't understand what that is that you're doing. What is that? Doesn't make any sense. Why am I sitting in a manhole? Do you know that once in a while, which is kind of often for me, I have to go and humble myself, not because I'm a proud man, but we all are, but because I just want to humble myself like he humbled himself. He is the king of everything. He is the owner of everything and everyone. And he was born into this world, into the flesh, no less. And he had to study the language. He had to learn how to walk, for crying out loud. He invented all those things. He had to learn the language. He was hungry. He was sweating. He was getting tired. He had to sleep. He humbled himself to such a level that we don't even understand. And he called me to humble myself. When I go down into the manholes, it's not always you go down and there's kids sitting there waiting for you. Hey, Max! It's not always like that. Well, actually, it's never like that. I very often go into an empty one and I just sit and spend time with the Lord. That is my secret place. That is my secret place. And that's where he opens these scriptures up to me and makes them alive. There was this one time, which was about, well, now about a month ago, because I've been here for 2 weeks. Now, right before I was leaving, I went into one manhole and I was just sitting there humbled before the Lord, praying and really waiting and wanting to hear something from the Lord, from your dad. Do you ever want to hear something from your dad? I want to hear something every day. Every day. And so I was sitting there, and this is the scripture he gave me, that he is the bread of life. He is the living bread. And if you eat, you will not be hungry anymore. But it's so amazing that the enemy twisted all of that in the world today, and we eat all kinds of information all around us. It's everywhere. We eat and we eat and we eat and we eat. And you know what it's actually doing to us? It's killing us. It's the lie of the enemy. It is not the truth. It doesn't feed us. It seems like we're fed. And you know how he revealed that to me? I was in this manhole. There's no light. There's a lot of wet air and lots of smell and just all, you know, the pretty stuff that you don't get to see because it's pitch black. So I'm in that manhole and I'm sitting and praying for a few hours. And then I'm like, well, God, why did you call me to be here today? Is always a question. You know, what's the reason? He always has something up his sleeve. And so I said, well, what is it today? And he said, just wait. So I'm waiting, I'm praying. You have to pray because, you know, it's kind of creepy to sit down there. Rats are crawling around, just gross. And so I'm sitting there, I'm praying. And then this boy gets down and he's got this, you know, this plastic bag on his face. And I'm using my phone to get some light. And so, and he says, who is this? I said, Max, who are you? And he said, well, what do you want here? I'm not telling you my name. What do you want with me? I said, nothing. I just want to talk. So anyway, long story short, we started to talk little by little. And he has the plastic bag on his face with glue in it. He's sniffing glue. And I said, hey, why do you sniff glue? And he said, well, because I'm hungry. And I said, well, why wouldn't you rather eat? And he said, yeah, but the food's too expensive. Glue's cheap. So the fact that he's sniffing glue, it opened up so much to me because this is the word that he's giving me, the living bread, the bread of life. Eat and don't be hungry anymore. And so this little boy, he's sniffing this glue that has an effect on his body, apparently. This is what I've learned later, that it doesn't just get you high, but it also gives you the feeling like you just ate. You're full. It lies to your system saying that you're not hungry. This is what the enemy does. False information out there. We feel like we've been fed up. We know it all. But the truth is that there's so much more that we haven't even tasted. And so when I said, hey, how about I go and get you some food? Would that be okay? He's like, yeah, sure. Can I come with? I said, let's go. So here we are coming all dirty, covered in, you know, things. And so we're getting into the store. I got him some food. And then we're going back to the hole, to the manhole. And I said, do you want to go back? And he's like, well, I got no other place to go. I said, do you want to come with me? He said, sure. So I actually took him into my place. He's 14, but he looks like he's 8. But God is so good. It is not something to be sad about. It is something to rejoice for, because he is now out of the hole. He's now in a safe home. Trust me, my place is safe. and it's cozy, even though I sleep on the floor. Too many of them are at my place. There is no such a thing as too many. I love them all, and I would take them all in if I had a little bigger house. But I have a tiny little apartment. There's, you know, 6 of the boys, and plus this boy that doesn't really have a name. I mean, officially, he doesn't have identity. He came up with a name, which I don't believe is the true name. But we'll find that out later. Isn't it amazing how God just works things out? That he wants to feed us not with something that is out there, the information, an earthquake. Oh my gosh, we're at the end times. Is that how we see the scripture? Earthquake. This is not what he promised would happen. He promised that in the end times, I will pour my spirit on everyone. Say amen. Everyone, every man, every woman, everyone, every child, everyone. This is the sign we're supposed to be waiting for. Not some earthquakes. This is the spiritual world. This is the spiritual world we're living in, and this is the spiritual word that is feeding our spirit. So don't starve your spirit. Feed your spirit. The message today, I believe the title of the message is Love Looks Like Something. And we're going to open John chapter 13. This was the time in the manhole with this little boy was really, really a revelation to me that he wants to feed us. He wants us to eat. He wants us to be fed. But he also wants us to love one another. I mean, you're not going to go into a hole and sit there because you just want to. Because nobody wants to. I like to be there because every time I go, I see a fruit. But not because I like to spend time there. But he is a faithful God. If he calls you to do something, that you'll see the result. You're going to see the fruit. Say amen. Can you say amen a little louder?
Amen.
Okay, all right. Now I know you're not sleeping. Yay. Because, you know, it's early. For some people. Hallelujah. The example that he's showing it to us in John chapter 13 is just amazing. This is Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And I want to talk a little bit about that. You can read the whole chapter. The whole book is great. You can read that on your own. But I'm going to just talk a little bit about that. We were doing, street ministry as always and trying to get the kids off the streets. And they don't always want to get off. And this was so funny because the Lord gave me a message where it's pouring rain and it's dirty and it's just muddy and we don't have many, you know, nice roads. So it's just mud everywhere. And we're doing ministry anyway because we've planned we're going out there. So here we are doing this ministry on the street. And these kids are out there hiding underneath the apartment buildings. There's like little balconies. So they're hiding underneath there because they don't get wet there. So we get to them. And it was really hard if you're a little taller. So you have to really get down. You have to get down to go up. Say amen. That's the biblical term, okay? So you have to get down to go up. You have to die to live. Do you guys know the scripture? I mean, it's not me, it's the scripture. And so we have to get down and really talk to them because they're really, really low down there. So we get to those low places to pull them out into the light, to pull them out into this pouring rain, really. And then we get to talk to them, we get to feed them because we bring food. And the whole goal is to get them off the streets. A lot of them don't have a place to live, but But a lot of them don't want a place to live because they're scared. Because the previous one wasn't safe. That's why they're on the streets. That's the safest place. And so this one boy was all alone, separate from all the other guys. And he's kind of digging in dirt. And I said, hey, what you doing? And he said, nothing. So I sat with him and he's playing with a worm. He's really little. So he's playing with the worm. He's like 9 or something. And he's playing with the worm in the dirt. And then he's stretching it. You know, have you ever seen worms? They're really gross. And so it's pouring rain. It's mud. And he's just stretching the worm. And he's just playing with it. And I'm sitting there. And I'm like, how do I minister to him? He's all alone. Obviously, there's something that the Lord wants to say to him and minister to him. But how do I approach this? You know, so it's like all seconds. And you got to be really quick and really listen to the Lord. And so I'm like, Dad, help me. I really don't know what to say. And he reminded me the story of Jonah. Do you guys remember Jonah? Not super obedient kid. He was like just funny. But chapter 4, which is the last chapter, I believe, it talks about a worm in that book. And he just downloaded. He reminded me. I was like, oh, yay. Okay, I get to talk to him about a worm. So he gave me a message on a worm. And so it was so cool. And I talked to him about a worm. The fact that, remember Jonah, he went to the city after a long battle with the father. He went to the city. He prophesied. He told people what would happen. And it didn't happen because they all repented. The Lord saved them. Long story very short, he was upset that what he said wasn't happening. You know, he was upset that the Lord saved the whole city. I mean, isn't that how we sometimes act? Oh my gosh, God, you didn't do this. But you know, so Jonah comes out and he sits down and he gets all really frustrated and upset. And it says in the word, you can check it yourself, but it says that he was close to ending his life. He said, I would rather die. This is so bad. I'm so sad. Have you met people that tried to commit suicide? Well, Jonah was one of them. This is our brother, you guys. He was suicidal a little bit. He didn't cut or anything, but he wanted to. And the Lord, you know, had a tree that he was sitting underneath in the shade because he was upset. And then the next day, the tree died. And he was again upset. But the tree didn't just die. The Lord appointed, check your Bibles, chapter 4, Jonah. The Lord appointed a worm. A worm. Say it with me. A worm. It's a really difficult word for the ones that don't speak English as the first language. He appointed. And in my Bible, it says he prepared a worm for that purpose. To whatever, do something with the roots of the bush or the tree or whatever it was, the plant. So that it would die. If he has a plan for that tiny little gross thing, can you imagine how much bigger his plan is for you? And that's exactly what I told that little boy. And he said, well, what's my plan? What's the plan for me? He wanted to know. Don't you want to know? I want to know. When you want to know, you get all curious and you have this interest. And he had that too. I mean, he's a kid, so he had the interest. And so we got him off the street. He was actually the only one that got off the street that day. Because we talked about a worm. This is what the Father is good at. He knows us. He knows how to talk to us. He knows how to make you understand, how to help you understand. Because bottom line is that we can know a lot, but do we really understand it all? This is what he wants us to do. Okay, let's open John 13. I'm going to be really quick. I have lots of testimonies. And how much time do I have left? Okay, all day? Yay! That's just like back at home. I love it. But you know, guys, I want you to feel like you're a part of this because you are. You know, I am a member of this church. I am a part of this body. And so when I'm sharing all these stories, don't feel like, oh, Max is doing such a great thing. No, no. We are doing such a great thing as the body. This is a testimony to us all. If this kid gets off the street, he gets off into a family, and that is our family. Say amen. I love it. I love it that we can have a family. Family, family, within the church, outside of the church. Like, this is just so, I love it. And okay, John chapter 13, you guys. That's where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Do you remember that? Were you there? I wish I was. But he gave us an amazing example. Before I get into that, I want to share another really quick testimony about... We do ministry with the disabled. We do ministry with the prostitutes on the highway. We do ministry with abandoned babies, newborns. And I have a few testimonies that I believe will stir up your faith a little bit. That's what he called me to do, to stir up the faith and to remind you that love looks like something. Say it to your neighbor today. Say it today to your neighbor right now. Say, love looks like something. And maybe even shake somebody's hand or touch somebody's shoulder and say, hey, it feels like something too. And maybe you can even smell your neighbor and say, love smells like something as well. Yeah. Or is this too early for that? But love, are you hearing what I'm saying? Love looks like something. We are not to just talk about it. We are not to only pray into it. We are not only to hear it from the pulpit, somebody sharing. We are to experience it. We are to receive and to give it to others. Love looks like something. To me, he called me to a certain thing, and to me it looks like a manhole. And to me it smells like, you know, sewer and rats and all that. To you, what does it look like? What does it smell like? Love has a shape and a form. And this is what we've been after. To those especially that have been to Ukraine, it'll be very exciting to hear that. We do ministry on the highway to the prostitutes, which is not easy. But we got three of them off in August. Three girls off the highway. It's yes. Yes, really, you can rejoice because it's not me, it's him, and you're really cheap on giving him the glory. Come on, you guys. This is your daughter. Yes. Yes, yes. This is those three now have a life because of your prayers. Now have a life because of your generosity in the spirit. Because you send teams to minister. This is the fruit. Three of them have their lives. Not back. They have more. So they're off the streets. And then it was really difficult for me because I get to, you know, deal with the consequences. Because it's not just, you know, you just get them off and it's no consequences. There is pimps. There is police involved. And so this was fun. I mean... It's fun to talk about it now when I'm not at home, but back at home it was not fun. But the Lord has a plan. So the pimp was, you know, telling the police and calling the police because that's their covering. They were calling the police and, you know, saying that this guy, he steals all of our business and work, and it's human trafficking. They're there for a certain time and then they're, you know, sold into whatever. And so we basically rescue them before they even have a chance to sell them. So we're like, yay! And so it's so cool. And so this guy, he was at my house, by my house. He parked his car. It's like a policeman. He came with three other guys. It was four of them. They parked their car and they were waiting for me. Well, I wasn't supposed to be at home. Nobody's home. The kids are, you know, somewhere out in camps or whatever. And I wasn't supposed to be there. So I'm driving by and I thought, I'll get a cup of coffee. I love coffee. It's all American coffee, so I love it. And so... I thought, I'll get a cup of coffee. And I pull in, and it's an apartment building. I live in a tiny little apartment. So I come out with just my phone in my hand. And these four policemen are like, hey, could you help us out? We're looking for somebody. I said, well, okay. You know, because they're always looking for somebody. So I said, who is it? And he said, well, It's this I think his name is Max, and he's really big and he's really tall, and he does some kind of a charity thing on streets or something like that. And I said, I don't know. I know a Max, but the big Max, I don't know. And I knew exactly who he was talking about. And I said, well, listen, I mean, can you describe him a little more? Is he really big and tall? Like, are you sure? Maybe he's small. He's like, no, he's this big guy, really muscular, you know, and just this tough man. And he goes to the highways and he, like, you know, talks to the prostitutes and then he gets some of them off. And I said, oh, that's a good man. He's like, well, that's what we're looking for him. I said, ah, okay, is that so? I said, well, actually, it's me. I'm Max. And he's like, what? You mean you're Max as well? Well, I said, no, I'm the Max you're looking for. I mean, these guys are a little taller than me because it's not hard to be. And so, yeah. And so he's starting to talk and getting all angry. And I said, yeah. And they had a warrant to go into my apartment and search it and whatever. And I didn't let them in. And I'm still there with just my phone in my hand. And he's yelling at me. I mean, he's yelling and swearing. And those three guys are just staring. And when he was done, I just let it, you know, I had to let him just let it out. And then when he was done, I was able to say something when he asked me. And I said, hey, listen, do you know that I actually have a great covering? You know, I'm not worried. I'm not worried that I do this. And the fact that you ruin those girls' lives by keeping them there. Did you know that they have kids? Two have two and one has three. How many kids do you have? He says, two. I said, you sell them for drugs. He said, are you crazy? I said, nope. So I don't want to fight the fight that isn't mine. I don't want to fight the government because that's not what I'm called to do. We are not to fight the people, the government, the police. I want their hearts for Christ. I want their hearts, and I wanted for them to understand my heart, where it comes from. It's the heart of compassion. It's the heart of love. It's the heart that understands. So when I said that to him, he kind of stopped. And then he's like, well, but do you understand that that's our business? That's how we make money. We can't just live off of the, you know, paycheck from the government because it's nothing. I said, listen, I understand. But if you don't let this go, you're going to have to deal with somebody that's my covering. And he's like, who's that? Is it somebody in the city? Is it somebody in the city hall? Is that who it is? I said, no, it's a little higher than that. And he's like, you mean in the Capitol? Sometimes we act funny. I mean, he's my brother, but sometimes it's like, really? And he didn't get it at first. So he kept talking like, who's my covering? And I said, it's somebody way higher than Kiev. And he's like, you mean like international something? I said, no. And he's always really close. And he's like, you mean like he's here now? And he started to whisper. And I have my phone still in my hand. And it's constantly going, you know, off, ringing. And so I keep hanging up. And he's like, are you recording this? He was so scared. And then he looked up on the top of the floor of my building. He's like, is he like here listening and watching? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. He doesn't live here, but yeah. And I said, you have to look a little higher than that. And he said, What do you mean? Oh, you mean you're a pastor? You mean you're all that? You mean he's God or something? I said, or something. There's no better covering than God. Say amen, you guys. This is so cool. We have such a great covering. He makes it so safe for us to minister, to go into manholes, to take him out of human trafficking, to pull him out of the streets, to pull him off of prostitution. It is so easy when you're doing it with him. So easy. Just because he is in charge. He is in charge. And it was so cool. The girls, we had to come up with different... Well, I had to come up with fake names for them because they wouldn't take them in the hospital. And they're all there under my name. And in case there is a boyfriend or a crazy pimp or somebody that's looking for them, we have to come up with a different identity for while they're getting over the, you know, drugs and detox and all that and rehab. So it's a whole big process, but I'm not going to get into it. God is so good and so faithful. And the one girl that was graduating this year... out of an orphanage. You guys like testimonies like this. Do you feel it stirring your heart? Yeah. This is what love looks like for me. This is what love looks like for my team, which keeps growing, and I have nothing to do with that. Say hi, amen, hallelujah. Because he is in charge. Our team is 400 people, probably a little over that now, and all over the country we minister, and it's kind of fun. I don't even know what they do. I just know they preach the gospel. I don't even know what's happening out there. I just know that we get together when we can. We visit each other. We call each other when we can. But mainly we just trust the Holy Spirit that's within us. None of them are ordained pastors or anything. Some of them I ordained as nurses. That's right. That's right. They couldn't go into the hospital. We go into the hospital to pray for the people that are dying from TB. And we want to see miracles. And the doctor said, you can't go in. You're not a nurse. I said, wait, you stay right here. You have to watch this. I am a pastor. I'm going to ordain them to be nurses. So he was present when I ordained them. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we love this. This is freedom. The hospitals can't do anything anyway. So you know, we just trust the Lord and we go in and pray. And the whole team, there's a whole team of ladies that are nurses in the spirit. They go and heal. Yeah, God is really good. God is really good. This girl that was graduating an orphanage this summer, she graduated at the age of 16, and she turned 16 this summer, and she graduated, and she was she didn't have anybody or anybody to go to stay with. There was nobody. So she ended up on the highway where we do ministry. But when we found her, she was it was only a month and a half or 2 months, you know, through the summer, and she was already working there. She was beat up, raped, abused in so many ways, and she was laying on the side of the road, and we didn't know if she'd live. When we found her, we put her into the car, we brought her to the hospital. They didn't want to take her in because she's got no ID or anything. So we finally figured that out. They took her in, and she wouldn't talk. She was unconscious for another day, and then when she, you know, woke up, she still wouldn't speak for a few more days. We kept visiting. We were fasting. We were praying. We took turns visiting and bringing her vitamins and all the things that she needed. And then I came up to her. It was my turn to visit. And I came up to her and I said, how are you doing? Can you speak? And she said, yeah, I can speak now. So she spoke, which was exciting. And then when I asked her, is there anybody we can contact? Maybe your family, your siblings, anybody, your best friends. She said, there's nobody. I said, well, I'm so sorry you don't have a family. And she said, my whole life I felt like I don't have a family. But now I feel that I do. This is what you and I are called to do. If you don't know your calling, know that. You are called to be a family. Know that. This is what he wants us to know. This is what he wants us to do, to be a family. So it was such a joy for us. And now she's joining our team. She's starting to, you know, kind of get up on her feet and realize life. But she said she's never felt more alive than now. Everything is real to her now, and everything is real. This is all of this. This is temporary. All of this is just for now. Even this, the body is just for now. You guys, we're living for the eternity. We want the eternity. I mean, we're working out. We're getting our muscles. Some people, not me, but you know, like whatever. And they're looking out for their body, and it's like, why? You know. It's whatever. It's only temporary. Let's look after our spirits first. Our spirits first. Work that out. Anyway. Okay, I believe I was supposed to read. I know I have so many testimonies that I like to share because you're my family. I feel like you should know this stuff. It's just exciting to see. Okay, John chapter 13. And it talks about Jesus washing disciples' feet. And when he did so, you guys have to remember what he did. He took off his clothes. I'm just saying the story. You can read the whole thing yourself. He took off his clothes. He wrapped himself with a towel. He kneeled and he was washing their feet. Their feet are not as clean as yours or mine because they walk in dirt. They walked in dirt. And sometimes we do too in Ukraine. So you wouldn't wash my feet after a sewer. But This is what Jesus did. He got down. You know what clothes represents? The position. Say position. Today, people have nicer cars when they're in, or they get first class seats on the plane or whatever. There's different kinds of positions. But in the church, I'm so glad that we have no position. We're all the same. We're all children. Say amen. Amen. And this is what he did. He showed it to us. He took off his clothes. He took off his position. He was not in any position anymore. He's not a pastor. He's not a leader. He's just a servant. And he showed it to us. He served. He served. He came to serve. Isn't that amazing how we can watch him do that, see him do that to his disciples, but he's doing that to us every day. Every day he's willing to wash our feet. Every day he's willing to wash us. And if he doesn't do that, if we don't let him, he says, you have no part of me. You have no part in me. Wow. Let's let him. Let's let him. This is another testimony that I want to share. And I believe I'm going to wrap up. I don't know when you end, but I'm going to wrap it up whenever. And so this is the last one, I believe. There's more, but time-wise, okay? I really like you, but you look like you're falling asleep. I'm kidding. You actually look pretty good.
Tell you what we're going to do. If you need to leave, feel free. But I want to hear some more testimonies. Anybody else want to just hang out? No. Just take your time, Max. We're going to, really, if anybody needs to leave, you can leave and bless you, really. I know that people have things going, but I want to give Max time to really share the things that are on his heart that there are just other things that you need to do. Feel free. Is that okay?
Thank you. Yay. Okay, you're stuck here now. So, stuck with me. I love it. So the testimony that I want to share is about us ministering to the ones that were just abandoned. Like, you know, as soon as they're born, they're abandoned. And they're at the hospital. And usually they have no names because the moms that abandon them, they run away. So this was so awesome. We were in the hospital doing ministry as always. We brought diapers. We brought formula. We brought things that we have to bring, which is our ministry. We change diapers because nobody else wants to do it. Or they don't even have diapers. So this one little baby was born premature, 6 months into the pregnancy, was born, mama abandoned, same story, ran away, no name, nothing. And the baby had a heart condition. They put him in the incubator. He was in the incubator for a while. And when we were there doing ministry to other babies and praying for this, you know, baby in the incubator, the power goes out in the hospital. You have to understand that our hospitals don't have drugs to give you. They don't have Tylenol or ibuprofen to give you. They have nothing at the hospital. If you want to get medicine, you need to go and get it at the store. So there's no, what do you call that thing? The extra energy generator. So there is no generator at the hospital. There's still no power. The baby in the incubator, you know, they had to unhook, take him out and all that. And he's out and he's not doing well. He had a heart condition. They said, we have to transfer him to another hospital. I said, well, okay, I'm going to go. Where's the ambulance? They said, well, it's parked in by the hospital, you know, behind the hospital. I said, okay, well, let's go. Where's the driver? And they said, he's there, but there's no gas. I said, all right, how about I drive him in my car? They said, okay. So I get, you know, two of my team members, and then the nurse didn't want to go because she had to do whatever over there. So we're going to another hospital, which is 40 minutes away. I mean, it's an hour away, but I was breaking some laws. And so we get there a little faster. We pray the whole time. This is a tiny, tiny little baby. You have to understand, though, we don't know. We are not doctors. We don't know what to do with a tiny little baby that's got a heart condition, premature, no name, all of this just at once. It's just crazy. And you're like, Jesus, help. All you can do is pray in the spirit because you don't even know how to pray. And so we get to the hospital. We come out of the car. The baby's dead. The baby's already dead. The lips are turning blue. We get upstairs. They hook it up. They put him in the incubator. They do all the stuff they have to do. They're trying to revive him, whatever. We're just standing and watching and praying and crying. And we stood there for a long time, and they tried to do that. And then finally, the head doctor claims the time of death. And then he tells us we have time to say goodbye. We're the only ones there, the three of us. We're standing, we're looking, we're praying, we're crying. We don't even know how to pray anymore. He's dead. But they opened the incubator, they unhooked it and all that. And then 2 hours later, you guys. 2 hours later, you guys. This is what the Lord did. He started to breathe. He started to breathe. There was nothing hooked up to him. He started to just breathe. Tiny little baby started to breathe. And when he was breathing, his lips were turning pink again. And then the doctors came running because we're crying now because of joy. And we're like screaming and excited and want to pick him up, but we can't, you know. So we're just calling the doctors. They're running and they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What did you do? And we're like, we just prayed. And we're just standing there and we see this life. And they checked. They tried to hook up the incubator again. And he didn't need to be in that, they said, because his heart was healed. Yeah. His heart was completely healed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't this awesome? We get to witness. We don't do that. This is not us. This is not me. This is not even you. We get to witness what he does. I want to be his witness. Wherever he does miracles, wherever he moves, I want to be his witness. That's why the crowds followed him. They wanted to witness what he did. They wanted to see. They wanted to experience it. I want it too. I'm hungry for that. Are you? It's exciting to see what the Lord does. So, of course, our team, we were kind of shocked and undone for a couple of days. But, you know, you have to keep going. And it's like one thing after another. And sometimes you don't even know what happens after because the kids get transferred. And you just keep praying. And you just trust the Lord that he has got them. Because he did that for a reason. He did that for a reason. So that you and I could rejoice and know that he is still the same God that resurrects the dead. So it's exciting. It's exciting. God is good. You guys, let's finish with prayer. I do have a bunch more testimonies, but I want to finish with prayer because I believe this is what he wants us to do. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for this wonderful time. We thank you for the time that we can just humble ourselves before your throne. We can humble our spirit. We can humble our body. We can humble our mind. We can humble before your throne because you are worthy, God. You are worthy of the glory, and you are worthy for us to humble before you. We humble ourselves. We humble and we welcome you into our lives. More and more in the areas where we didn't see you minister before, minister now. We take off the limits. We allow for you to do in our lives whatever you want to do. We don't want to limit you. Once you save our family, save our neighbors. Yes, Lord, we don't want to limit you. Just the family. Save the family. Save the neighbors. Save the ones that are enemies in other cities and other states. Save each one, each heart. Save the president. Save the politics. Save each one, Lord. They're yours. Minister to them. Minister to them like you do to us. We love you. We love you. We love you. We thank you for those policemen. We thank you for their hearts. We thank you for their hearts. Get a hold of their hearts. Get a hold of their hearts. Get a hold of their hearts. Pour your spirit. We're hungry for you. We are hungry for you. We ask you to pour your spirit, Jesus. Pour it more and more. More and more. Your spirit. Your spirit. We're hungry for your spirit. We don't want false information. We want the truth. We want you. You are the truth. You are the love. And we want you. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for changing and transforming our lives. Thank you for giving us the mind the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. The new mind. Thank you, Jesus. Where we no longer have to understand everything, where we can just trust you. We can just trust you and follow you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you and we love you as your bride. Amen. Say amen.